Tobermory. It was a cold, rain-washed afternoon in late August. Lady Blemley and her guests were sitting round the tea-table. Everyone was listening, open-mouthed, to Mr. Cornelius Appin. Although he was one of her guests, Lady Blemley did not know Mr. Appin well. She had invited him to stay at Blemley House because she had heard that he was clever. But until tea-time that day, he had not done or said anything clever. He did not play tennis, or sing, or make intelligent conversation. But now Mr. Appin was describing a most extraordinary discovery, and the other guests were listening with deep interest. "Are you telling us that you've found a way of teaching animals to talk?" Sir Wilfrid was saying. "And our dear old Tobermory is your first successful student?" "I have studied this problem for 17 years," said Mr. Appin, "but I didn't have any real success until 8 or 9 months ago. Of course, I have studied thousands of animals, but recently I have worked only with cats. A cat, of course, is a wild animal who agrees to live with you. All cats are intelligent, but naturally some cats are more intelligent than others. When I met Tobermory a week ago, I realized at once that here was an extraordinarily intelligent cat, a very special cat indeed. In Tobermory, I found the student I needed. With him, I have succeeded in my plan." Nobody laughed, and nobody actually said, "Rubbish," although Clovis's lips moved silently.
"And have you really taught Tobermory?" asked Miss Resker. "To say and understand short, easy words?"
"My dear Miss Resker," said Mr. Appin patiently, "we teach little children and very slow, stupid adults in that way. But Tobermory is a most intelligent cat. He can speak English as well as you or I can." This time Clovis said, "Rubbish," aloud. Mr. Wilfrid was more polite, but it was clear that he did not believe Mr. Appin's story.
"Shall we bring the cat in here and hear him for ourselves?" said Lady Blemley.
Sir Wilfrid went off to look for Tobermory.
"Mr. Appin will try to be clever," said Miss Resker happily. "But if we watch him carefully, we shall see his lips move."
In a minute Sir Wilfrid returned, looking very excited.
"It's true, you know," he said. "I found Tobermory sleeping in the smoking room. I called out to him to come for his tea. He lifted his head and opened one eye. I said, 'Come on, Toby, don't keep us waiting.' And he said calmly, 'I'll come when I'm ready.' I couldn't believe my ears."
The guests all started talking at once, while Mr. Appin sat silently and looked very pleased with himself indeed. Then Tobermory entered the room and calmly walked over to the tea table. The conversation stopped. Nobody knew what to say to a talking cat. At last Lady Blemley spoke.
"Would you like some milk, Tobermory?"
she asked in a high, unnatural voice.
"I don't mind if I do," answered Tobermory.
Lady Blemley's hand shook with excitement, and some of the milk went onto the carpet.
"Oh, dear, I'm so sorry," she said.
"I don't mind. It isn't my carpet, after all," replied Tobermory.
There was another silence. Then Miss Resker asked politely,
"Did you find it difficult to learn English, Tobermory?"
Tobermory looked straight through her with his bright green eyes. Clearly, he did not answer questions that did not interest him.
"What do you think of the intelligence of people?"
asked Mavis Pellington. "Which people's intelligence?" asked Tobermory coldly.
"Well, my intelligence, for example," said Mavis with a little laugh.
"You make things very uncomfortable for me,"
said Tobermory, although he didn't look at all uncomfortable.
"When Lady Blemley wanted to invite you here, Sir Wilfrid was not pleased."
"Mavis Pellington is the stupidest woman I know," he said.
"That's why I want to invite her," Lady Blemley replied. "I want her to buy my old car,
and she's stupid enough to do that."
"It isn't true," cried Lady Blemley. "Don't believe him, Mavis."
"If it isn't true," said Mavis coldly, "why did you say this morning that your car would be just right for me?"
Major Barfield did his best to help. He tried to start a new conversation.
"How are you getting on with your little black-and-white lady friend in the garden?"
he asked Tobermory. Everybody realized at once that this was a mistake. Tobermory gave him an icy look. "We do not usually discuss these things in polite company," he said, "but I have watched you a little since you have been in this house. I think perhaps you would not like me to discuss your lady friends." The Major's face became very red, and all the other guests began to look worried and uncomfortable. What was Tobermory going to say next?
"Would you like to go down to the kitchen now, Tobermory?" asked Lady Blemley politely, "and see if the cook has got your dinner ready?"
"No, thank you," said Tobermory. "I've only just had my tea. I don't want to make myself sick."
"Cats have 9 lives, you know," said Sir Wilfrid with a laugh.
"Possibly," answered Tobermory, "but only 1 stomach."
"Lady Blemley," cried Miss Cornet, "don't send that cat to the kitchen. He will talk about us to the cook."
Everyone was very worried now. They remembered uncomfortably that Tobermory moved freely all over the house and gardens at all hours of the day and night. He could look into any of the bedrooms if he wanted to. What had he seen? What had he heard? Nobody's secrets were safe now.
"Oh, why did I come here?"
cried Agnes Resker, who could never stay silent for long. "You know very well why you came here," said Tobermory immediately. "You came for the food, of course. I heard you talking to Mrs. Cornet in the garden. You said that the Blemleys were terribly boring people, but they had an excellent cook."
"You mustn't believe him," cried Agnes. "I never said that, did I, Mrs. Cornet?"
"Later, Mrs. Cornet repeated your words to Bertie Van Tan," said Tobermory. "She said that Resker woman will go anywhere for 4 good meals a day, and Bertie said..." Just then, Tobermory looked out of the window and saw the doctor's big yellow cat crossing the garden. Immediately, he disappeared through an open window. Everyone started talking at once, and Mr. Appin found himself in a storm of angry questions.
"You must stop this at once," everyone said to him.
"What will happen if Tobermory teaches other cats to talk? We shall never have a moment's peace."
"It's possible that he has taught the gardener's cat," replied Mr. Appin thoughtfully, "but I don't believe he has had time to teach any other cats."
"Then," said Miss Cornet, "although Tobermory is a valuable cat, he and the gardener's cat must die. Don't you agree, Lady Blemley?"
"You're right," said Lady Blemley sadly. "My husband and I love Tobermory. Well, we did before this afternoon. But now, of course, he must die as soon as possible."
"We'll poison his dinner," said Sir Wilfrid, "and I will kill the gardener's cat myself. The gardener won't like it, but I'll say it has some kind of disease."
"But what about my discovery?" cried Mr. Appin. "What about all my years of work? Are you going to destroy my only successful student?"
"You can go and teach the cows on the farm," said Mrs. Cornet coldly, "or the elephants at the zoo. Elephants are very intelligent, they tell me, and elephants don't hide behind chairs or under beds and listen to people's conversations."
Mr. Appin knew when he was beaten. Dinner that evening was not a success. Sir Wilfrid had had a difficult time with the gardener's cat, and later with the gardener. Agnes Resker refused to eat anything, while Mavis Pellington ate her meal in silence. Everyone was waiting for Tobermory. A plate of poisoned fish stood ready for him in the dining room, but he did not come home. Nobody talked much, and nobody laughed. It was a most uncomfortable meal. After dinner, the Blemleys and their guests sat in the smoking room. Everyone was quiet and worried, and nobody wanted to play cards. At 11 o'clock, the cook and the housekeeper went to bed. They left the kitchen window open for Tobermory as usual, but he did not come. At 2 o'clock, Clovis spoke. "He won't come home tonight. He's probably in the newspaper office selling them his story. They'll love it. The story will be the excitement of the year." After that, everyone went to bed, but nobody slept. In the morning, Tobermory had still not come home. Breakfast was another quiet, uncomfortable meal. Then, halfway through the coffee, the gardener brought in Tobermory's blood-stained body. "Look at his claws!" cried Clovis. "He's been fighting!" And there, on Tobermory's claws, was the yellow hair of the doctor's cat. By lunchtime, most of the guests had left Blemley House. Lady Blemley began to feel better. She took out her pen and paper and wrote a very angry letter to the doctor about the death of her valuable cat. Tobermory was Mr. Appin's only successful student. A few weeks after Tobermory's death, an elephant escaped from the Dresden Zoo and killed an English visitor. The zookeeper said that the elephant had always been a calm and gentle animal before, but suddenly it seemed to become very angry with the English visitor who was talking to it. The dead man's name was reported in the newspapers as Oppin, but his first name was Cornelius. "If Appin was trying to teach the poor elephant to speak German," said Clovis, "I'm not surprised it killed him."